First John chapter 4, starting with verse 1, and the scripture reads, "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God, and every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is it in the world. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God, he that knoweth God heareth us, he that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know ye, we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error." Amen. May the Lord add his blessing to his word. Please be seated. So this is the fifth of a series, and perhaps next Sunday will be the last one on speaking on the Antichrist spirit. And just to refresh, it's, as a brother was saying, and also Brother Mike preached the other night, we're in a perilous time. We are at the end time. We are very close to the rapture. And so as we're close to the rapture, then there are many things that are spoken of in the scriptures and the message of the hour that we are to prepare for and to be aware of the time that we're living in, the day that we're living in, and look at what Jesus Christ is doing now, right now. Amen. He's not a God of history. He's not a God that is far removed, but he's an ever-present God that we must be able to see clearly of what he's doing right now. And so we know that in the history of the scriptures, in the Bible, the message of the hour, that there are many that always miss Jesus. They missed him. And they failed to see the I Am working amongst them. And so we want to be able to see that. And so we know that in Satan's Eden, the god of this evil age, several places in the message of the hour that this is a deceptive age and an age that what we must be paying very close attention to about what the enemy is doing. And so our God is a God of war, the Bible says. Our God is a God of battle. And so he is a very strategic and intelligent God that knows how to fight. Now, the devil is very intelligent also. And so he uses his intellect, he uses his intelligence to come up with a plan so that he can take out as many of the people that are on this earth as possible. And we know that it has come into a climax. So it is a climax that we're reaching right now. All demon powers are loose. And at the same time that all demon powers are loose, the full manifestation of Jesus Christ in this hour. So it's coming to a climax, right? So we know that in the church ages, different beasts came to being. And then as far going by the horse riders, but different horse riders were manifested, and then there was a standard that God raised up to meet those powers. Amen. And so in this last age, we know that this is the eagle age. We know that it is a pale horse rider, but it's got to come to a climax, right? And we know that this is manifesting time. So the fruits will manifest themselves in this hour. This is the harvest time. So the fruits were, the seeds were planted, and now they're coming to fruition. And those that are part of the wheat, the sun will ripen that and then brown it, and they'll be ready for the harvest. And the same thing for the chaff, it'll be ready to be bundled up together and thrown into the fire. So this is a time where all these things are made known in the fulfillment of scriptures. So now we are looking at, and I want to kind of take us further into identification of the Antichrist spirit that, remember, if we can resist it, Satan will be powerless before us. If we can identify that spirit, Satan will be powerless. And that's what he's trying to do, is take out the power of the believer, make her cold, formal, and powerless. And so we've gone different avenues to talk about this. And so we just trust by God's grace that we're able to dig a little bit further. But we must identify spirits. Let me emphasize that, spirits, not what we can see, not the physical form. But we must identify how the spirits move. We must identify how the spirit is shown in the scripture, because behind each word of God is a spirit and is a way that God is moving. Amen. We see the spirits moving in the world through video, television, music, different things, and we see those spirits, and we want to be able to clearly see it. And God, by His grace, has pulled back the curtain so that these things are not deceptive to the true believer, but will be made known. Amen. Now, going through the message of the hour, the seal of the Antichrist, I just want to refresh something here. He says, it's a religious spirit, a spirit that can shout, a spirit that can dance in the spirit, a spirit that can cast out devils, a spirit that can do all kinds of miracles and still not be born of the Spirit of God. We know that. And the scripture proves that. In that day, many will come to me and say, Lord, have I not cast out devils in your name? In your name, haven't I done many mighty works? He says, and today we base our soul. Because remember, you can see the power of God move in such a way that you'll be enamored by it and say that, you know, rely totally on what you can see through that manifestation. He says, today we base our soul almost upon somebody who can preach like a fireball, or somebody who can heal, lay hands on the sick, and them get well. That doesn't mean anything. Upon somebody who dances in the spirit or shouts the victory, that don't mean anything, not a thing. Upon emotions. Amen. Got to get the real thing first. Not because that we dance or was happy or shouting, that doesn't mean it. The fruits of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, goodness, gentleness, patience. That's it. People can shout, dance in the Spirit, and hate their neighbor, refuse to speak to one another. Now, remember that since the beginning of Brother Branham's ministry, that we can identify from the 40s, 50s, and through the 60s, he was slowly but surely identifying a spirit that was moving amongst the denominations. And so when we look at the denominations, he began to preach against that. He began to start by saying Cain and Abel, talk about the difference between the two. Then he would talk about how the denominational system, of how that system was trying to destroy the work of God and hinder the work of God. He identified the Catholic Church. And we know that in the dark times, in the fourth church age, the Thyatiran church age was a full manifestation of the beast. Amen. Right? If you look at Revelation chapter 13, the beast came into full manifestation with the Roman Catholic Church. Amen. Having full control, complete power, spiritual, political, all the different powers. And so it put out the seed, so it was very much marginalized. But that beast was wounded, right? Almost to death. But we know that that beast, that deadly wound was healed. And so that beast is emerging and is working today, right? And remember, it's always a mystery. It says mystery, Babylon the Great. And so back then, it was a mystery how it was working. But they could see that there was a power that was destroying the true Christians. And so remember, then God allowed Martin Luther to preach that message to wound that Catholic Church or that beast. But then it began to reemerge itself again. And so then through deception and through something that was a lamb that but now spoke as a dragon. Amen. So you see the deceptive means, and he's going to have the same power as the original beast. Amen. So you remember how much power that Catholic Church had over the country, over the people, yes. over the word, how it was distributed. And that same power is manifested today, but he's got the blinders over the people, right? So when he talked about the denomination, remember we talked about the roots of the denomination because it starts very small. And we talked about how he likened it to the palmer worm and the cankerworm or the locust and then the cankerworm and the progression there. And so he starts very small, but he started to eat off the fruit of love, right? Brotherly love. And so if he can start a separation, then he can get his foot in the door and then begin to move. You understand what I'm saying? So if he can get the brethren to not talk to one another, to put a separation, to put a divide. And so that's what denominationalism is. And he said denominationalism is Antichrist. And so how does it start? It starts with eating up that love, causing people to have disagreement and to have separation. And then he begins to eat off the other fruits of the Spirit. And remember, then after that, then he begins to take away fellowship. Amen. Right? Locusts began to eat that fruit of fellowship. So began, brothers and sisters began not to fellowship one another. And then that the next stage was the cankerworm, where it was eating off the bark, the protection of the tree. And he said that protection was the religion, or he likens it into the doctrine, right? So we know that when we came to the message of the hour, that we began to hear, many of us began to hear the truth, right? We began to hear about the baptism in the name of Jesus Christ. We began to hear different truths about there not being eternal hell, the serpent seed, different doctrines. And so that is a foundation, right? But as we get more established, remember, that's not just it. It's not just about the doctrines, but because that is establishing the structure, and if you will, the mechanics. But the dynamics has got to come in there, which is the spiritual part. And so to bring that framework to life, and so and give it power. And so as you know that structure is set forth, then the Spirit begins to move and to manifest itself, and then to further take hold of the vine, the branches, and to produce the fruit. Amen. So you see that it heats from the fruit and then begins to work closer in to the very life of the tree, and so the very protection of it. So when we look at denominational, he says, hate their neighbor, refuse to speak to one another. And so when... Remember, there's differences that people have. Sometimes with the way they understand the message, the way they understand the scriptures, the way they understand doctrine. And so we ought not let those things to separate us. And sometimes it takes a little bit longer for some of us to catch the revelation, right? And so, you know, depending on where we came from, that Baptist doctrine, that Assemblies of God doctrine, whatever the Catholic doctrine, could be very well ingrained in us. And it takes the move of the Holy Spirit to move inside of us, into our mind, and to unroot those things, because some of those things have taken deep root. And, you know, the way that the devil wants to do is to indoctrinate those people in the denominations. You know, hit them over the head, as Brother Brandon was talking about, with that Trinitarian stick, to beat it into their head that this is the way that you ought to believe. And if you grow up that way, in that type of educational indoctrination, then it gets ingrained so much that it takes a real work of God to really open that up. And he's so, because Brother Branham says that education is a great enemy. And so when you're educated about religion and doctrine to that point, then it's very difficult for the Spirit to move and to undo that stuff, right? But it takes time. So somebody that has not been indoctrinated They can come right into it. But some people that have grown up in that, it takes time, and they still hold on to some of that. So they were maybe UPC or United Apostolic Faith or something like that, and they believe, some of them believe in baptism under water unto regeneration. They baptize in the name of Jesus Christ, but they baptize unto regeneration. So that sticks with them, and they carry that over into the message of the hour. So it has to get undo. And so does that mean that they're not necessarily seed? No. But it takes the time of the Holy Ghost to do that. If we look at our own personal lives, we can see that it has taken time for God to undo some of our understanding or some of our framework, or people call it paradigm, right? Now I'm going to read something to you. It's in the Revelation series, chapter 5. And Brother Branham is talking about a few individuals. Now, sometimes we see some people so far gone, even a religious spirit, in a way, and we think that, you know, we can somehow shape it in our mind that they are not, we can't bring them back, right? But even though they may be deceived in a certain way, even believing somebody else is Jesus Christ, say Brother Branham, that they cannot be delivered from that. Or they worship some person. Say they worship Joseph Branham or something like that. Something weird. And you feel like, well, they're just gone into that, and then you just kind of forget about them. But is that what Jesus Christ taught us? That they're beyond being saved, right? Now, we're not done until we leave this earth, right? And then, as we talked about last Sunday, that we don't know what is in each of our hearts. Now, Brother Bram does talk about, and that's personal, but you can get to a point where, you know, you hear the voice of God and you reject it so many times that it's like boring a hole in your ear, right? And you become a slave now to that denomination or whatever that type of thinking. You can reject it so many times. But us as believers, looking at each other, we don't know where everybody stands in their walk and what's deep in their heart. Now, he provides a backdrop here, and he says, he talks about it in Revelation chapter 5, series part 1. Okay. If there's anything that has been in my heart to do was to hear those words of our Lord Jesus at the end of his journey to say, "It was well done, my good and faithful servant." And many times I have said I'd like to have standing there when he said, "Come unto me," but I did desire to hear it say, "Well done," that I did not hear the voice in the original say, "Come unto me," back in the times of the writing of the Bible. But I do desire to hear it say, "Well done." Now he's going somewhere with this. And if anything, I always wanted to be in desires of my heart to be was a true servant to Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior. I want my testimony to be clean, clear cut, that I stood in all my mistakes, I yet loved him with all my heart. And I do that this morning with all my heart. Now he says this, and because of that, it forces me to say I am leaving the ministry. Is because that there is something arose up amongst the people that's caused me to do it. That is that I have been taken from my bracket of a minister or brother and being called Jesus Christ. So now there is an antichrist spirit that has moved into the congregation. Remember, it can be different forms, but it came in the form of calling him Jesus Christ. And so call, and that would brand me as an antichrist. And I'll meet God as a quitter before I would meet him as an antichrist to take away from him. And so he goes on and talks about it and talks about in generalities about the brothers. And he says, and I heard it a few more times, but it wasn't so. And the other day in Canada, a brother showed me a little thicket of a thing because he thought it was a joke before, but it began to progress in such a way that he knew it was serious. Said, William Branham is our Lord, baptizing in the name of William Branham. And a little, a precious, and you're saying in your mind, you're joking, you're like, how could they think something like that? But there was a spirit. And spirits are very powerful. And you cannot underestimate the power of a spirit that it could deceive you. Because when we get to the end, you'll see that this could happen to anyone. And this little precious, it had been an enemy. It had been my enemy. I would have known it was a joke. But a precious, darling brother come up to confess his sins and his wrongs and say his faith in me as being Jesus Christ. And I have got letters at home and calls from Chicago and different places asking me if I believe that dogma. And I got all kinds of letters that's come in the last few days and calls from different places so saying that I was Christ. Brethren, that is horrible, disgraceful, ungodly, lie of the devil. See, I am your brother. Now that would run any person from the field. That would make anyone that loves Christ run from the very thing. So he goes on and he basically says to the congregation that he's going to step down from the field and until further notice because of this, because he doesn't want to go down as being an antichrist. So he says this on June 11th in this message. Now he comes back in the next Sunday, June 18th, in the same message, but part 5, Revelation chapter 5, part 2. Back in the tabernacle this morning, and to report good news all around, how that the Lord God has been good to us. Last Sunday, while the vision was told, and most of you all was here, about that serpent being killed at the center, that vision happened word by word within 24 hours. So he had a vision about a serpent, and it was coming forth, and then he pulled out a gun, and he shot that serpent, and he mortally wounded that serpent. And then he was going to go after it or cut off its head or something, and then it went into the water, right? But that was the vision. So that vision happened word by word within 24 hours after it was said here at the platform. It was gloriously how the Lord did, because it was a bad spirit. It was an evil spirit that was moving in there. And so God was telling him that that spirit would be dealt with, right? And so remember, he goes into this and he talks about how he talked to the brothers. Remember, he did all the things that the scripture told him to do, talking to one person, bringing it before others, and then he brought it before the church. Remember, he just did that. He told them this was going on. So he said here, it was gloriously how the Lord did. I have never seen one of them fall in the all my life, and I'm 52 years old, just perfectly, word by word. He said, never seen one of them fail, I'm sorry. Word by word, the way it happened, and I feel lots better, a lots better. And now there's all that I was speaking about, saying about the accusation or not an accusation. It was from honest-hearted, God-fearing men. So you feel like they were just a serpent seed, and that's why they were worshiping Jesus Christ, but he said they were honest, God-fearing men who my ministry had got just a little too supernatural, and they had began to think that I was the Lord Jesus. Right. Now, we're going to make a point here as we read through, because we are susceptible to spirits. But God has given us the way to deal with those spirits when they come in. And we talked about it where it is love. He says, love one another. The enemy will try to shoot something in. He says, you just bind that much closer together. You'll see it in here. But you've got to love one another, because you do that and either that person will become one of you or that person will leave. And remember, in the scripture it says they went out from us because it wasn't of us. But if you do what the scriptures say to do, then it'll happen correct every time. Now, he says, God-fearing men who my ministry had got just a little too supernatural. They began to think that I was the Lord Jesus, and it started a doctrine about it, but it was all stopped at once. Thank the Lord for that. Now he says this. He breaks over here. He talks about the tax case and says that, you know, he says this. I'll read this and just so for your edification. And then on the tax case that we had, there would have never been one word about that if I had just have listened to the Lord. So has there been times where Brother Branham made mistakes? Yes. He didn't listen to the Lord sometimes. And we know that if we look closely at the message of the hour, there were several times that this happened, showing that he was a human being. He was not a God. He was a human being. And so he learned through his mistakes. So you and I learn through our mistakes. And sometimes we fail. We do fail. You know, I spoke of one failure I had. And so we fail, but, you know, God lets us go through those failures. And through those failures, when we learn from them, it helps us grow so much. Amen. You know, through the trials and testing, sometimes we fail some of those. Sometimes we succeed. But through the failures is when we really learn. When we succeed through them, then that builds us confidence that we can go through that, right? And it gives us faith. But all of those things are for our good. We don't like to go through diversity, but in fact, it's the very thing that will help us grow and make us better. Awesome. The blessings will not help us grow nearly as much as the diversity or the trials and tests will. And so that's why the scripture says they're so precious. And those of us who have been along the journey a little bit further, we really value those tests and those trials because we know they've helped us so much in our growth. Because when we stand against the enemy and face the same thing, it doesn't matter. It doesn't bother us. You know, we can almost laugh in the devil's face. And so we've got to go through those. And if you see how Brother Branham, when he gets to a certain stage of his life, how he deals with some of those, you know, one example was somebody said, you know, aren't you going to do something? Aren't you going to say something about that? Because they talked about your family. They talked about this and that. He said, oh, that's just a predestinated trial from the foundation of the world. And he just kind of went along, right? And we want to be in that state because remember that we are overcomers. And greater is he that is in us and he that is in the world. And so these things that face us, these adversities, these trials, these tests, when Satan comes against us, it comes to a point where we can just stand there and know for a fact that nothing will bother us. It will not take us away from the plan of God because God's got it under control because God has established and firmly set our faith in him. Those trials and tests, they build our faith. The revelation of Christ through those trials and tests build our faith. Amen. Now it says this, it's always where I disobey him is where I always get in trouble. If I had just listened close and walked with him. You know, he talks about how that vision, and he talks about it in the third pull, and he was doing the fishing line, remember? And then in the vision, if you read closely, because it's spread out in different messages, but if you read all those messages that deal with it, he said that God told him not to say anything as he was trying to reveal to Brother Branham how he was to catch fish. Those fish being the bride of Christ, of course. But he was showing them this is the way that we are to do it. And then as he was watching it, he was getting excited. And then he began to explain it to the people around. They go, oh, Brother Branham, you're a good fisherman. And he said, those were ministers that were doing that. And so he said that, you know, sometimes you just, you get tangled up with a bunch of ministers. You get confused. Remember, that happens, and you can look in Brother Branham's ministry of where he got caught in that trap, right? Amen. When he was in Africa, he got caught amongst a bunch of ministers. And they were telling him, trying to give him inputs of what to do, And so he knew what God showed him to do, but even the Brother Bosworth, whom he held so dear, was telling him, maybe your vision is wrong. Oh, right? And so he learned from that not to do that. And if you look, he was in a similar type of trap, although, remember, not the same form, but similar spirits. Remember, there was a trap laid for him in Chicago, right? Bunch of ministers trying to do something again. But God brought him through that, right? And God delivered him through that. But he learned this mistake, and then he marched forward and was victorious in that next trial, right? Now, he says, then it gets to the ministry so supernatural sometimes until I was afraid I would run over on that other line. But now I don't mean, I want everyone to catch this right, that I don't mean to say that I'm going to get away from the Lord, but I just don't want anymore to express any of the supernatural. So God is settling him on how to deal with the gifts that he has. Now I'm going to skip over a little bit here and jump almost straight to the point here. He says, now, talking about this whole situation with this spirit moving amongst these brothers, he says, now, pastor, and me going away, being your assistant with you here in the work of the Lord. So he's talking to Brother Neville. And as Paul would say, I charge you before God and the elect angels, see, and to this church here, there is a perfect example on what to do if somebody gets out of order in the church. So now these brothers, remember they were out of order a little bit. Now if there comes something up in the church that's not right, then let the individual who knows that's not right go to the person. And if the person will not be reconciled, then the next thing to do is to take a witness and go. Or maybe one or two witnesses and go to this person to get them reconciled or get the thing straightened out. Now, he's giving the instructions, but remember, we've got to take the entire Word of God. And so, remember, he says, you cannot, because remember, this is bringing reconciliation. Reconciliation means bringing back together. Somebody has gone astray, and you love that person so much that you want them to come back to reconciliation. Like your child goes away and does something wrong. You want to bring them back to forgiveness and reconciliation. You don't want them to stay under condemnation, right? I mean, it hurts me as a father when I see my child has done something wrong and I know they've done something wrong and they have to suffer the consequences for it, right? And to watch them go through that because it hurts to see them hurt. But I know that also at the same time, I have a strong desire, you know, and, you know, the human side sometimes gets upset with our children, too. But there's something in our heart that doesn't want them to stay in that state that they're in. And you want them to be reconciled. You want them to repent. You want them to ask for forgiveness. And so then you can be in harmony again. And so the same thing when somebody goes out of line in the we want them to come back. We want them to come back to reconciliation with Christ. And so somebody is doing something that's not quite right. We love them and our heart reaches out for them and we want to bring them. Because remember, you cannot help anyone unless you love them. That's what Brother Branham said. And so you do that and then you bring other people and so your heart's desire is to bring them back. And so you go through those steps. Now he says this. Now listen close. Now this is being taped also, and then if it don't work, don't never let a little ism or a little something another or a little bad feeling ever rise up among you. Get it out of the way right now. So that's a little. It's the little fox that spoils the grape, you know. And so we may have these little feelings or isms and we just kind of let them settle. And if you let them settle, then they continue to grow. And so we've got to deal with these things, you know. And so on the outside, everybody looks happy and hunky-dory, but maybe underneath, there's things that are going on. You know, you disagree with this brother or sister. You know, they said something you didn't like or whatever, but we want to bring that to reconciliation. Brother Branham talks about the harmony. We must have harmony in the congregation, then we can continue on, Amen. Right? You may disagree on doctrine and things like that, but you can still love one another. Amen. And Brother Bram brings the example of, you know, you may like apple pie, I like cherry pie, but we're both eating pie, but let's love one another and continue on together. So now, he says, in a little funny feeling, go and tell the person to it. Say, I'm wrong. I don't feel right towards you or something. Help me to pray over it. They'll get better because we don't want nothing but just purely the unadulterated Holy Spirit of God among us. And, you know, it is hard to do that. It is humbling to do that. But something inside of us wants to obey that word, right? And to take that awkward step, which it is awkward, right? Brother, I want, what's going on? And then, you know, and I did this wrong. It's not easy, right? But the word of God compels us to do it. Now, he says, help me pray over that I'll get better because we don't want nothing but just purely the unadulterated Holy Spirit of God among us. That's all we want. Then will the gifts and things will work right and everything will be coming right. The power of God will move. Amen. If we allow them, then we're talking about, again, cold, moving direction of cold, formal, and powerless. Why have a half a church when you can have a whole one? Why accept a substitute when the whole skies are full of the genuine? See, we don't want that. So if a little funny feeling ever comes up among you members, one to the other, you go to that person. You say, well, they did me. That it's now remember, not if you have an error or a fault against a brother, but if a brother has something against you, see, go to him and be reconciled. Tell him that you've had a strange feeling about him and you want to make friends and pray and go down at the altar and get the thing out of the midst of you. Amen. You know, if we truly have the seed of God in our hearts, you know, we want to be right. No matter what, no matter how embarrassing, no matter how humbling. Now he says here, now Satan will constantly punch at you until you're finished here on earth. Just remember that. You'll never have a time, but what there's a punching going on all the time because you're in a battle. Did you ask to come to Christ to going to a picnic? Well, you're sure going to be surprised because it's a constant battle. I've been on the field for 31 years and I fought every inch of the way. Was it not promised that we would have to fight every inch of the way? That's right. Israel had to fight every inch of the way. Palestine was given to them, but they had to fight every inch of the way to get it. Now remember this now. Then if there's something comes up in the church, then let the pastor, and if you have to come get the pastor, take them to the person. Then if they won't hear that, then come up before the church and tell it before the church. Give them so much time to be reconciled, maybe one Sunday to the next, and they will not hear the church. Then the Bible said, let them be as a heathen and a publican. That, see, as long as they are protected by the church, Satan cannot get to them. But when the church looses them from under the protection of the church and the blood of Christ, then Satan will go to work on them. Now he says this. So as soon as them brothers, they come up here at the house the next day, this is after he told it to the church. See, even till they got and had begun to give me their scripture, because they were going to prove to him this was right. And then the Holy Spirit, by the scripture, just condemned everything that they were saying. Now, I'm going to back up, if you forgive me here for a second. I missed this one, and I want you to get this. So that's the thing, always remember to do is to be reconciled. Come to God and go God's way. We've got, what does that prove to us? Two or three of our brethren that knows that I labored under this other one for two or three years. So he's talking about these brothers now. He labored with them for two or three years. That's right. But when I come to a place, I thought as them men, he began to think on their level. Remember, the scriptures talks about in Galatians, I believe, when you see a brother overtaken in the fault, amen, brother, consider yourself. Consider your situation. Try to get into that brother's situation. Amen. He says,
And I could finally love those men enough, they can't get away from it. So he had the love. And I took witnesses, but that didn't work. I had to bring it to the church. And then from the platform last Sunday, I don't want to hear it one more time. I'm free from it. I turn it over to God, see, and commit it back to Him. Many times we want to take it into our own hands and say, I believe I know what to do with it, and I should do this, or I should do that. And you're even taking the scriptures and the message, but you're applying them incorrectly. It won't come out right. Amen. But he did it correctly, and then he's done. He can't do anything more. He commits it to God. Because God's the only one that can do anything about this situation, right? He's the only one that can do many things. He cannot change our children's heart. He cannot change our husband or his wife's heart or anybody else's heart. But God, or we cannot do that, but God alone can do that. So now he says, so as soon as them brothers, they began to show him the scripture. They came to his house that after that Sunday. Then the Holy Spirit, by the scripture, just condemned everything they were saying. You see? So there was a scene. Them elected group of people walked out in the presence of God. So he calls them elected group. Walked out in the presence of God. So elected had that spirit on them to think that Brother Branham was Jesus Christ. So if it could happen to those elected, it could happen to us. The thing of it is that we need to apply what Jesus Christ told us to do to handle those situations. So some people in their minds would just put them out of the church. But Brother Branham gave us instruction on how to do that. And that was to love them first and to love them and pray for them, right? And then, you know, bear with them. Look how long he bore with these people. And then at a certain point, then it was applying these certain measures. And look how God reconciled the whole thing. And so before we say this person's out and this person's out, we've got to be careful because that's denomination. Because denomination says, I believe it this way, and if you don't believe it my way, then you're out of my group.
Go ahead, brother.
So that's what denominations are, and that happens in the message of the hour. Because of a lack of love, because of a lack of the Spirit of God, because of a lack of fellowship, all those things that are removed from the tree are not there, and so then there's infightings that happen, and then they break apart, right? But we can see by the message of the hour and be able to see when these things start to take place. Amen. So when you see that you start to have this going on with this brother or sister, we've got to stop it right there. We began to apply the scripture to pray for the brother or sister, began to ask God to help us love that person. Hallelujah. And then these things will begin to be removed. Or you see that there's a lack of brotherly love in the congregation, or lack of fellowship, what is happening? Then we begin to pray because we know that the devil is moving in. Now he says this, it makes me thankful for people like that. Yes, sir, that's real men. When you see a man that's wrong and prove it wrong, then that shows he wants to be a Christian. He walks up and says, I am wrong. That's a real Christian. So it took the power of God to wake him up. And then when they realized it, then they said, I'm wrong. And that's what a true elect seed of God will do. Amen. It will say that they're wrong. When they're confronted, when the Spirit of God opens their eyes. Amen. Let's all stand. And it makes me look back at the vision the prophet had about the preview of the bride. Remember the last preview of the bride, there were those that were got out of line, out of step. Yeah. So that will happen. And this shows that that happens. But by the grace of God, their eyes were open.
Amen.
By the grace of God, so many places in the scripture, the eyes were open. By the grace of God, you and I, our eyes were open.
Amen.
So it is all by the grace of God. And that's why that top of the pyramid was calling grace, grace. We have to live by grace.
Amen.
There's no other way. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, we thank you so much for your word, O Lord. Lord, it is just life to us. What can we say, O Father? And it gives us
It gives us energy. It gives us enthusiasm because of the stimulation of the revelation, as Brother Branham would say. Oh, Lord, it gives us joy, unspeakable, full of glory. Lord Jesus, we ask that you would continue to help us, oh Father. Lord, the word of quick, powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, and it will quickly divide the spirits, oh Father. The spirit of the wicked one, which is deceitful and very intelligent, from the Spirit of God. Lord Jesus, help us to lean closer to you, because we know that we cannot discern on our own, but we constantly need to depend on you, O Father, to open it, to see it clearly with our eyes. Lord, bless the song service, bless the preaching of the word. Keep those that are not here with us. Give them traveling mercies, or help them, O Lord, if they are not feeling well, dear Lord. We ask all this in the precious name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. 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 Please be seated.